नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीव्यासम् ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Naishtya Preshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishkriti. By regularly attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Agana Timurandasya Gjana Jana Salakaya Jaksun Milajan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Manobhistam Sdapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Mayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahajaktam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Shetanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishikam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vindavanishwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Churuvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padita Nam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we're studying from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse 18, Krishna enters Dwarka. And we will do verse 18 and 19 today. Paranendram Parashkritya Paranendram Parashkritya Brahmanai Sashush Mangalai Brahmanai Sashush Mangalai Shankha Turya Ninandena Sankaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratyujagmu Ratayar Prishta Pratyu Jagmum Pratyrishta Pranayagata sadvasta. Pranayagata sadvasta. Varanendram paraskrita. Brahmanai sashumangalai. Shankacharya ninadena. Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratyuk Jagmum Ratayavishta Pranagyagata Sadvyasvasta Varenendram Puraskritya Brahmanai Shashumangalai Shankaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratyuk Jagmun Ratirishta Pranayagata Sattvasa Varanandram Purashrita Brahmanai Shashimangalai Sankaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Charita Pratyu Jagmu Ratirhishta Pranayagata Sadhyasa. Please chant. Varanendram Parashrita Brahmanai Sashrimangalai Sankaturya Nanadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pachitnama Chacharishta Shankaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratu Jagmud Ratayatrista Pranayagata Sadvasa Varanendram Paraskrishna Brahmanai Sashimangalai Sankhyaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratyujagmu Ratirhishta Pranayagata Sadvasa Paranendram Paraskritya Brahmanai Shashumangalai Sankaturya Ninadena Brahma Goshena Chadrita Pratyu Jagmu Ratayahishta Pranayagata Sadvasa. Vaishnavis. Varanendram. Elephants on the auspicious mission. Purashkritya. Putting in the front. Brahmanai. By the Brahmanas. Sasu Mangalai. With all auspicious signs, Shankha, Conchels, Turiya, Bugle, Ninadena, by the sound, Brahma Goshena, by chanting the hymns of the Vedas, Cha, and Adrita, glorified, Prati, towards, Ujagmu, proceeded hurriedly, Ratai, on the chariots, Ishta, in cheerfulness, Pranayagata, saturated with affection, Sadvasaha, all respectful. They hastened towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Please repeat. They hastened towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Vedic way of receiving a great personality creates an atmosphere of respect, which is saturated with affection and veneration for the person received. The auspicious atmosphere of such a reception depends on the paraphernalia described above, including conch shells, flowers, incense, decorated elephants, and the qualified brahmanas reciting verses from the Vedic literatures. Such a program of reception is full of sincerity on the part of both the receiver and the received. So we'll go on to verse 19. Varamukhyascha sattaso yanastadarsanottukai lasakundala nipata kapulabhanashriya. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. Please repeat. At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to proceed on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. We may not hate even the prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. Even to date, there are many prostitutes in great cities of India who are sincere devotees of the Lord. By tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society, but that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is unchecked in all circumstances. It is understood herein that even in those days, about 5,000 years ago, there were prostitutes in a city like Dwarka, where Lord Krishna resided. This means that prostitutes are necessary citizens for the proper upkeep of society. The government opens wine shops, but this does not mean that the government encourages the drinking of wine. The idea is that there is a class of men who will drink at any cost, and it has been experienced that prohibition in great cities encourages illicit smuggling of wine. Similarly, men who are not satisfied at home require such concessions. And if there is no prostitute, then such low men will induce others into prostitution. It is better that prostitutes be available in the marketplace so that the sanctity of human society can be maintained. It is better to maintain a class of prostitutes than to encourage prostitutes within society. The real reformation is the enlightenment of all people to become devotees of the Lord, and that will check all kinds of deteriorating factors of life. Srila Bilamangal Thakur, a great acharya of the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava sect, in his householder life was overly attached to a prostitute who happened to be a devotee of the Lord. One night when the Thakur came to Chintamani's house in torrents of rain and thunder, Chintamani was astonished to see how the Thakur could come on such a dreadful night after crossing a foaming river which was full of waves. She said to Thakur Balamangal that his attraction for the flesh and bone of an insignificant woman like her would be properly utilized if it could be diverted to the devotional service of the Lord, to achieve attraction for the transcendental beauty of the Lord. It was a momentous hour for the Thakur, and he took a turn towards spiritual realization by the words of a prostitute. Later on, the Thakur accepted the prostitute as his spiritual master, and in several places of his literary works, he has glorified the name of Chintamani, who showed him the right path. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, O son of Prita, even the low-born chandalas and those who are born in a family of unbelievers and even the prostitutes shall attain perfection of life if they take shelter of unalloyed devotional service to me. Because in the path of devotional service there are no impediments due to the degraded birth and occupation. The path is open for everyone who agrees to follow it. It appears that the prostitutes of Dwarka, who were so eager to meet the Lord, were all his unalloyed devotees, and thus they were all on the path of salvation according to the above verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the only reformation that is necessary in society is to make an organized effort to turn the citizens into devotees of the Lord, and thus all good qualities of the denizens of heaven will overtake them in their own way. On the other hand, those who are non-devotees have no good qualifications whatsoever. However, they may be materially advanced. The difference is that devotees of the Lord are on the path of liberation, whereas the non-devotees are on the path of future entanglement in material bondage. The criterion of advancement of civilization is whether the people are educated and advanced on the path of salvation. So, is beautiful descriptions of this incredible reception for Lord Krishna. And it's very interesting to see all the beautiful natural ingredients they're using to glorify and to receive Krishna. And an earlier purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we don't have such an experience with our receptions for great personalities like there is here. These receptions, they create an atmosphere where the eyes are seeing beautiful things, the ears are hearing beautiful sounds, the aroma in the air is very pleasing and sweet, and then the brahmanas are chanting these mantras which are purifying the atmosphere. So everyone is appreciating this wonderful, wonderful situation. Where in current society, we take old newspaper and cut it very small, and then we put it in a trash can, and we dump it out the window on top of people we're receiving. No flower petals. And then you'll find they have these platters. You can see them in the market where the vegetables have been cut days before, and they're sitting out. They're dried and stale. This is the food they offer. And, of course, there's always the traffic jams whenever you have these dignitaries or personalities coming into a town. So we don't have experience of these beautiful. It's so nice that we can read them here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was nice when Srila Prabhupada would come, too, because we did make an extreme effort to greet him in a loving way. And it was so nice because everybody had this single focus. It talks about that in this purpose. The brahmanas had this single focus. And that's how all the devotees were when Srila Prabhupada would come. We all had this single focus to make a wonderful greeting for Srila Prabhupada, make everything wonderful for Srila Prabhupada. And in the second purport, it's mentioning the hundreds of prostitutes coming to see Krishna. And we wonder, how can there be prostitutes in Dwarka? And Srila Prabhupada gives a nice explanation. By the trick of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society. But that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is uncheckable in all circumstances. So not everyone in Dwarka was a pure devotee. There were others who weren't so pure. Satyajit, for one. Satyajit he was actually a worshipper of the sun god. And he attained this jewel from the sun god that was extraordinary. It was an incredible jewel. And Satyajit would wear it on a locket around his neck, and he would come into Dwarka. And people would think this was the sun god coming to see Krishna, which would not be an unusual situation because many great personalities would come to see Krishna now and then. But this was just Satyajit. And he had installed a temple, and he installed this jewel in the temple and worshipped it, where he received 170 pounds of gold every day. And this jewel was so auspicious that nothing inauspicious could happen where it was. No pestilence, no famine, nothing like that. But Lord Krishna, he tried to tell Satyajit to give this jewel to King Ugrasena because this would be the proper thing to do. But Satyajit was too attached. Satyajit, he had this beautiful daughter named Satyabhama. And he had promised her to different people. Even he promised her to Lord Krishna. But he was so attached to his jewel, he couldn't give away his daughter even. And one day, his brother, Prasena, he decided to take the jewel for a ride in the forest. And he went on horseback. But he never came back. And Satyajit was very upset about this, and he assumed and started the rumor that Lord Krishna stole this jewel. Krishna did not care for this false rumor that was spreading like fire all over. So he decided he would go out and just find out what happened for Sena. And when he was out looking for him, he found his body, which was obviously killed by a lion. And he followed the tracks and he found the lion that was not killed by any weapon, but was dead. And he followed the tracks further into this cave. And there he saw a small child playing with this gem. And so at this time, the nurse of this child started screaming very loudly because she thought Krishna had come to steal this gem. And out comes Jambavan. Do you remember Jambavan from the Ramayana? He was very dear to Lord Rama. He was the strongest personality on the planet at this time. And so he immediately attacked Lord Krishna, thinking that Krishna has come to steal this jewel from his child. And they started fighting first with weapons, and then with boulders and rocks, and then with trees. And then they went to hand-to-hand wrestling, and then they started beating on each other. And this went on for 28 days. And Jambavan, who was so strong, was beginning to feel pain in his body, in his joints, in his back, and it was just becoming so difficult. And he started thinking, who could this personality possibly be? Could this be my Lord Ram coming in a different form? And so then he began to realize this is Lord Ramachandra, but he's coming as Krishna. So he immediately rectified his offenses for attacking Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada says Krishna likes to fight. And he specifically likes to fight with his devotees. And it's especially wonderful when the devotees are under yoga maya because they're not realizing they're fighting with Krishna, because they would never fight that hard if they knew they were fighting against Krishna.
So once Jambavan realized this, he gave his daughter, Jambavati, to Krishna for her wife. And he also gave him the Shaimantaka jewel. So Krishna took this back to Satyajit. And he gave the jewel back to Satyajit because he knew how attached Satyajit was. And he didn't need this jewel. But Satyajit was very embarrassed and very, very sorry for his offenses. So he gave his daughter, Satyabhama, as a wife for Krishna. But there were other personalities there who were rather sinful. One was Kritavarma. Kritavarma had conspired with Akura. Remember Akura? And Satyahanva to kill Satyajit and steal this gem. This is the trouble when you have too much. Someone always wants to steal it. But it's described that Akura, he had fallen into this position because he received curses from the inhabitants of Vrindavan for taking Krishna away. So it's not only important to have the blessings of the devotees, it's very important to avoid the curses of the devotees. And Kritavarma, he was too close to Kamsa and he became contaminated by this association. So unfortunately, they actually killed Satyajit when Krishna and Balaram were not in the city of Dwarka. And later on, Krishna, he rectified this situation. So it's not always a perfect situation. In 73 in New York, there was a very highly qualified financier who was an accountant. He was working in Manhattan. He was from Iran. And he became very attracted by Srila Prabhupada. And so he offered to do some service to Srila Prabhupada. And he offered to look at the books at the temple. And once he did, he wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter and he said, "These books are a mess. The devotees are not logging things properly. They're spending more money than that's coming in. Things are a wreck." Maybe not in those words, but Srila Prabhupada sent two letters. He sent one to the temple president, chastising him and instructing him to correct this situation. And the other one he sent to the now initiated Atreya Rishi. And he said, "Don't think that the spiritual world is utopia, where everything is perfect. Sometimes Krishna gets so bewildered by Srimati Radharani, he goes and milks a bull instead of a cow." And Srila Prabhupada also tells another story about a brahmana and a prostitute. And in this village, there was this great brahmana. He could chant mantras properly, very, very well, and he knew all the scriptures perfectly. But there lived this one prostitute. And she was very sorrowful for her condition in life and for what she was doing to make her life work. And she constantly prayed that she would get purified, and she was hoping, because she lived in this valley, in this village with this brahmana, that some of this would rub off on her, this piety. But the brahmana, he could not stop thinking about how sinful she was. He was so absorbed with this, he would take a stone and place it at her door every time a man came to her home. And then one day, a psychic sadhu came through the village, and the brahmana asked him, "So," very proudly he says, "when will I be going back to Godhead?" And the sadhu said, "You're going to hell." He says, "How can I be going to hell? I know all these mantras perfectly. I know all the scriptures thoroughly. How can I possibly be going to hell?" And the psychic brahmana explained to him, "It's because you are constantly thinking of this prostitute and you're constantly condemning her. Your consciousness is very bad." And so the prostitute had an opportunity to ask the sadhu, where will I go in my next life? And the sadhu told her, you're going back to Godhead. And she says, how is this possible for my sinful activities? How could I possibly go back? And he says, because your consciousness is fixed on Krishna and praying. So it's not about, it's about our consciousness. And in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice definition of the different types of devotees there are. Because even though there's so many different types of devotees, we still need to use a certain power of discretion in our association. And so in the fifth text of the Nectar of Instruction, the translation is, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So in this particular text, 5, there's different classifications of devotees. It starts with the Prakriti Sahajas. Prakriti Sahajas are people who like chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya explains in the Madhur Leela that one chants one time, that one has to be accepted as an unusual, advanced human person above common men. But unfortunately, Prakriti Sahajas are attached to intoxication. They're attached to illicit sex, illicit association, unrestricted association with the opposite sex, and to money. But sometimes innocent people get swept up in this group of people. And one person, Radhanath Swami, is excellent at finding these innocents amongst the Prakriti Sahajas and bringing them to Krishna consciousness. But for a young devotee, it's dangerous to associate with such personalities, because we need to protect our creepers and not get into bad association, which happened to Ajamil. But the respect in the mind needs to be there. And what is that respect in the mind? That respect in the mind is that we're thinking nice thoughts about these people, even though they're not able to live it at the level that Srila Prabhupada had instructed. You still have to respect them. Then there's the Kanista Adhikari. We all start as Kanista Adhikaris, and we take initiation. This is a neophyte stage. It is a fragile stage. We don't have a strong understanding and background in the scriptures. We have to develop this. We have strong faith to the deity, but unfortunately, don't have very many abilities to develop good relationships with other devotees. Kanista Adhikari is the symptom of a Kanista Adhikari is they're quarrelsome. And they like to fight and criticize and complain. But Srila Prabhupada explains we have to elevate ourselves step by step. Still, offer respects mentally. This is very important for all the devotees to offer respects mentally. And then there's the Majjhima Adhikari. Majjhima Adhikari is fairly fixed in their Krishna consciousness. This is a midway level. And they may not be able to defeat all the scholars scripturally, but their devotion cannot be moved. And Majjhima Adhikari is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. And then the highest, topmost level is Uttama Adhikari. Highly advanced, their association should be sought. They're very, very strong in scriptural understandings. Their sadhana is perfect. They're very realized. And these personalities are also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, 7th chapter, verse 31 to 32. Translation, one must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, and always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of Shastra and Guru. And then Srila Prabhupada explains further in the purport. To practice bhakti yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, advises, one's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion. The words Guru Shushushaya means that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Panir, attire, diya, bacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, a Vaishnava sadhu must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate with. So Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear. So anytime we feel we need association with Uttama Adhikari, Srila Prabhupada is so kind, he's given us all his books, this direct association with him. It's so powerful. So I think we should stop here. Are there any questions or additions?
Thank you, Mata. I think you might have touched upon it. I just want to see if I've understood it correctly. So, the prostitutes were devotees. It's directly stated by Prabhupada, but not really on a high level. Is that?
He said unalloyed.
Sorry?
They're unalloyed devotees in the purport.
Yeah. So how could that be? Because, I mean, I've definitely heard elsewhere Prabhupada say things like, devotional service begins when you're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, or one must first be a Brahmin before one could be a Vaishnav. We get the, you can't be sinful and be a devotee. It seems like there's...
Because it's about the consciousness. And even though they were in this unfortunate service, Prabhupada explains it's also necessary in a big city because of fallen personalities. It prevents wholesale falling, sinful activity. So it's better to have prostitutes than to have the ruination of good women. So it's a necessary service. But somehow or another, Prabhupada's explaining that these women had unalloyed devotion. And they should all be respected.
Okay.
But we not necessarily associate with them. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that there's the personalities out there, and they can maybe chant very nicely and appear like devotees, but if they're not following, we shouldn't associate closely with them. Actually, there was a time in Mumbai when Prabhupada, there was this life member family, prominent life member family who was very supportive to the temple. They invited the devotees to come up to their summer home in the mountains. And Prabhupada went up with a small group of devotees, and they had a wonderful prasadam. And the next morning, Srila Prabhupada called his servant. He said, "Do you hear that noise?" And the servant said, "All I hear is snoring, Prabhupada." And he says, "Yes, I know it's snoring. Why are the devotees snoring?" This is at 4 o'clock in the morning. "The devotees should be up." He said, "But they've become affected by their association with these people." So he immediately packed up, and he wanted to leave. Later, these life members came to the temple, and the devotees were not sure how to greet them. And Prabhupada was so warm, so welcoming, so loving, and happy to see them, gave them prasadam. So it's because the devotees were weak and they couldn't be strong on their own, but in their own environment, in our environment here, we can be strong devotees. But we have to be careful when associating with people who are not following very carefully. Is that?
Okay. Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Mataji. So, in order to advance spiritually, one has to follow the four regulative principles, out of which, you know, no yogic success is actually one of the most principles we have to follow.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, the prostitute in Dwarka obviously they were breaking the principles. So how can they advance in the spiritual life?
I'm sorry, I can't understand this, but I can read Srila Prabhupada's words where he said they were unalloyed devotees. And I just accept it like that, as it is. I'm on back. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead, Prabhu. Please let Maharaj have the microphone.
Personally, had a fault or an impurity or a difficulty, and yes, it may be a violation of the four regular principles. But there's more to a person than just that fault. There's also many virtues. There are numerous virtues that a person may have. You may have been able to crop a nice quality. Self-control in other areas, austerity in other areas, and a number of them. They may have very strong religious feelings towards Krishna, so strong, and yet at the same time there may be this difficulty, this limitation. So sometimes it takes a bit more time to accomplish the higher or greater or pure state. And Krishna is seeing the whole situation with his sincerity, the intensity of their endeavor, the degree of affection that they have for him. So when you put the whole thing in balance, you see that all the good far outweighs the bad, and that the good that is there will ultimately, even at the end, Krishna feels very satisfied with the intensity, enthusiasm, and eagerness that they have for him. He can take them all back to Godhead. They don't have to be such prostitutes. come back here. That's possible too. And in a better situation. The important thing is to bring that into the one information. First of all, I think surrender is important. And so therefore, if you need to surrender this process, it's never been good to think of it as that. Because we can, you know, hate the sin, but we don't have to hate the sinner. Because sinners change. The sin simply remains sin. The sinner leaves the sin and becomes a different person than many of us here have. So, therefore, that Christian soul will be in balance, and that we should all be in balance. But that doesn't mean that we have to become, you know, prostitutes. And if God accepted it, then why can't I do it? Not how much money, and I can raise more money. But won't you make every effort to do what God wants us to do? And if we fall down, then keep trying.
Jai, I believe that Carter wants to say something. Let Carter. No, please give the microphone to Carter. Speak loudly, I'll repeat it. Yes.
They have to have that profession for some reasons.
Unfortunate reason.
Unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. It's not that they chose because they prefer necessarily.
That's correct.
But and this happens in society, in our own world.
Yes.
There's ladies that would have never done that, but they were forced by the circumstances, and then what to do. So he's indicating that was their profession by force or by misfortune. It's not possible, he says. Now, this Dwarka is not in Vaikuntha. This Dwarka is in the material world. This is not. We're not talking about the
Dwarka in about
the spiritual
Dwarka
world. This was on this world when Krishna is in the material world, and there is such unfortunate situations. That doesn't mean that our prostitutes are like that.
Right.
And so it should be looked into in a you know, having these prostitutes were in the Leela of Krishna. To be in the Leela of Krishna, you have to get to a high level of situation. But when you are in the material world, three kinds of people come into the Leela. Normal people that live in the world. There's the exalted devotees that are coming to serve Krishna, descending from the material, from the spiritual world. And there is people that are advanced enough to be born in the Leela to finish with their
material
existence. So there's three kinds of people that meet in the material world. So some of these people, some of these ladies, were particularly special because they were devotees. We don't know the circumstances. And then Prabhupada is dealing with it like this is a profession, not necessarily a chosen profession, but something due to circumstances.
Yeah.
And that has to be taken into consideration. But because their devotion was prominent, that was the important thing. Like Maharaj said, their consciousness was that they love Krishna like devotees. So they were
unalloyed
devotion. He's specifically saying unalloyed devotion.
Right. Okay. We're going to take one more comment, then we got to
That was, yeah, I agree with everything there. And what also helped me was a movie a long time ago. It was called The Geisha. And it just opened my eyes to the fact that in history, in Asian culture, the prostitutes were very highly trained in musical arts and entertainment. And in fact, I didn't see the whole movie, so all I can say is I got the gist of it was that it was far different than anything in Kali Yuga that we see, like pole dancing, all that crazy stuff. But they had the one woman was going to be rejected from her house of prostitution because she actually engaged in gross sex life with a customer. So it was very, very different. And it was just to relieve the men from their tensions, whatever they couldn't get at home. They went to these higher class prostitutes.
Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.